الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد الرسول الأمجد أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, listeners, the topic, as you may be aware, is about sihr, which is the Arabic word. Jadu is the Urdu word, and black magic is the English word. And there may be other words in every language to speak about the same issue. And this is one of the topics that have been very meticulously chosen by the team for discussion during this series of Jummah talks that are taking place at our masjid in this great and blessed month of Ramadan. Why? Well, one of the reasons is this, that this is such a topic that there is an exaggeration either way. You get those people who say, I don't believe in jadu. I don't believe in black magic, in sihr, in sorcery, in voodoo, or whatever you want to call it. And that is incorrect. That is actually a very dangerous statement to make, because the Quran talks about it. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk about it. To say you don't believe in it, in the sense that you don't believe it exists, that is negating the Quran. If you say you don't believe in it, meaning you feel that at times it's exaggerated, but that's a different matter. However, your choice of words will still be inappropriate. Then you get those people that anything negative that happens in their lives, even a migraine, they blame it on jadu. And then they have their targets. So mother-in-law and daughter-in-law don't get along. Then the mother-in-law will say, you know, I don't want to say, but. You said it. I don't want to say, but. And sometimes maybe there's some rivalry, there's some issue, there's some tension, there's some friction, which is part of life. Then even men would make the statement, I'm not accusing anyone, but. I'm not accusing anyone, but. So you've got these two situations. People who believe it doesn't exist, or they downplay it below its reality. And those people who believe and attribute everything that happens to it, as if anything wrong that happens in life, anything evil that prevails in this world, it all has to do with jadu. And that's not the case. Of course, it's about balance. It's all about moderation. It's about the middle path. So what's the reality? You see, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this world according to the cause and effect procedure. It's cold, you feel cold. It's hot, you feel hot. If I stab you, there'll be a wound. You'll feel pain. Depending on where and how badly I stab you, you may even die. If I shoot you, there'll be an impact. That is the system which Allah has placed on earth. There's a cause and there's an effect. But the cause only takes effect if Allah wills. I can shoot you in the leg and you can die. And another man can be shot in the head and he will survive. And that's how we understand it from the balanced perspective. One man can be extremely unhealthy. He's got sugar, he's got blood pressure, he's got cholesterol. He is taking more tablets a day than the kids eating Smarties. Right? But he lives till 85. And another man is fit and he's toned and he goes to the gym and he plays tennis and he has a sudden heart attack and he's gone. So unhealthy habits have an effect. Healthy habits have an effect. But ultimately the outcome is always in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Some people eat the worst of foods in, you know, epic proportions. Nothing happens to their health. And other people overeat a little bit, and automatically the scale is sounding an alarm bell. That's the system. So we understand a positive impact, a negative impact, a positive cause, a negative cause, a positive effect, a negative effect. But whether something will take effect or not is in the control of Allah. And then the extent to which it will take control or to which it will take effect is also in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these things are part of the system of the dunya. There is always going to be a struggle between haqq and batil, between the forces of good and the forces of evil. There'll always be that particular struggle. Who prevails, how they prevail, who has an impact, when they have an impact, to what extent they have an impact, all of that is in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we have to understand that as a point of aqeedah. Otherwise you get too carried away with this issue of jadu and sorcery. You start believing that the perpetrators have control. They don't. They don't. A very simple example, poison has an effect. But sahaba drank poison, taking the name of Allah, and nothing happened to them. But poison also had an effect on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes the most pious of people can be affected, and sometimes the most impious of people cannot be affected. All of this is in the control and in the decree of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now this phenomenon of sihr, jadu, black magic, whatever you want to call it, it's not something new. It existed from the beginning of time. The verses which I recited in my introduction, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look, in this short talk, I'm just explaining to you basic concepts. I can't go into the details, and neither am I an expert. I'm not the Amil, I'm not the Bapu, don't come to me for ta'wiz. Although if I wanted to make a lot of money, I would have pretended to be one, right? So, I know that there's an entire science behind it. You get different types of jadu and black magic, like you would have different types of poison. So they have the one that comes from the east, India, Pakistan, subcontinent. You get the jadu that comes from Babylon, that area, you know, the Middle East. They say that's the most potent. It's a science, and it has its own experts, right, who understand the science. So it's when they analyze you, when they assess you, the genuine ones, not the fake ones, right? They will be able to tell you what type of jadu has been made, what kind, and each one has its own treatment, just like poison, like venom. When you get stung or when you get bitten by a snake, they would want to know what kind of a snake. You'll have to describe it to the doctor, because the antidote for the venom of that snake may be different to the antidote for the venom of another snake. So there's no one kind of jadu, nor is there one kind of treatment. It's a science, and people have to study it, and they have to become proficient in it, and then they are able to deal with it. But Allah talks about what happened in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. You see, predominantly, whoever practices black magic and jadu, they have to commit acts of kufr. Because black magic and jadu are perpetrated via the jinnat. Right? So the jinnat, like humans, you get the good and you get the bad. Like you get a human, then you get a pious human, you get an impious human. You get a Muslim, you get a non-Muslim. So amongst the jinnat, the shayateen. You know, when we talk about shayateen, these are the evil jinnat. They are the perpetrators primarily of black magic and jadu. And they won't put effect, or the jadu doesn't take effect until you say those things which are blasphemous, which are words of kufr, or you carry out those practices which are blasphemous. So sometimes Muslims don't do jadu themselves, but they get others to do it. In reality, you're making others perpetrate kufr. I'm not going to pass any fatwa here, but I'm just warning you as to the seriousness of it. You may feel, I need to get back at this person. You know, he did this to me, he did that to me. So I'm going to go to someone and I'm going to pay them, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. But you have to understand, in order for that to take effect, what are they actually going to do? And by doing that, what are you involving yourself in? So Allah uses these words, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. Sulaiman was not involved in kufr. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The evil from the jinnat, the shayateen, they kafaru, yu'allimuna an-nas as-sihr. How? How did they commit kufr? By teaching people black magic, jadu. Then Allah says, He sent as a test Harut and Marut, two angels who came in human form. This is in the first juz, Allah talks about it. And they told the people that we will teach it to you, but you cannot misuse it. It's a test from Allah. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ. They told the people that this is a test. فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. Don't commit kufr. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. One type of jadu that they taught was how to separate a man from his wife. how to create friction in a marriage. Now, not every marriage that is on the rocks is because of jadu. You can't exclude it in totality, but you can't attribute it to it in totality as well. Sometimes maybe you're just not a good husband, or she's not a good wife, or the two of you are not compatible, or there are other external issues. Maybe you've got to work on your anger, you've got to work on your temperament, or whatever the issue may be. Everything can't be attributed to jadu, but jadu can't be totally excluded as well. So even when it comes to loss in business, when it comes to a setback in health, all of these things, negative things that can happen to a person in life, you can't exclude jadu totally, but you can't attribute it only to jadu, because that makes you lazy as a human to improve yourself. So you eat all the wrong things and you have a heart attack, you say, somebody made jadu on me. Your sugar is going through the roof because you're not eating the right things, then you say, no, somebody made jadu on me. You're not treating your spouse well, the marriage is on the rocks, no, somebody made jadu on me. But on the other hand, to negate it altogether is also not correct. But then Allah says, and this is the key phrase, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Even the greatest expert in jadu can't harm you except if Allah wills. So the greatest protection is the protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Magic, black magic, sorcery, jadu was at its height in the time of Musa alayhi salam. That's why when Pharaoh wanted to defeat and embarrass Musa alayhi salam, what did he do? He called the magicians. But then Allah said, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. That even the expert magician does not always succeed. Look, even the best marksman won't always hit the bullseye. Even the best assassin won't always get his target. So we must keep these things in perspective. That even that person with an evil intention won't always get it right. Ultimately, the control is in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hands. So that is our perspective. And look, like we were discussing, Allah can turn negative into positive. The fire turned into a blossoming garden for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The knife didn't cut the neck of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, why do we say jadu is a reality? Because jadu was perpetrated upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam as well. The Nabi of Allah had his enemies, internal and external. And it's always the internal enemies that you need to be more careful of. I said, it's always the internal enemies that you need to be more careful of, not more suspicious of. Understand the difference. Especially our mothers and sisters who are listening. Others say, yeah, Maulana said I must be careful about my mother-in-law. But that sister-in-law of mine is very jealous. Because we went for Umrah and she didn't go. My husband bought a new car and her husband can't afford a new car. No, I said be careful of the internal enemy. I didn't say be unnecessarily suspicious. The problem with us is we're suspicious but we're not careful. And an intelligent person is careful but doesn't suspect anyone, because the Quran says, اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Be careful about unnecessarily suspecting others. You could end up in sin. You could end up in sin. One is you have a suspicion in your mind and you are careful of it, fine. But once you start expressing that suspicion and acting on that suspicion, then that's a different matter altogether. So the Prophet ﷺ had an internal enemy. We know who they were. There was a Jewish man by the name of Labid. How did he make jadu on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He bribed some of the servants to get him hair from the comb of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here's another point in passing. Always dispose of your nails and dispose of your unwanted hair. Especially our mothers and sisters, because you know they a lot of hair comes out because they carry a lot of hair. Dispose of it. Make sure you dispose of it yourself. So he took the hair, and it's a form of magic where they recite these words of kufr and they tie knots around a rock, and he threw the rock in the bottom of the well so that no one can retrieve it. Now it had an impact on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in terms of his mission as a Nabi, no. That was obviously divinely protected by Allah. But in terms as a human, sometimes Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do something and he would forget that I did it, or he would feel uneasy, or he would feel pain, headaches, those kind of things. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that something was wrong. And then Jibreel alayhi salam came, and Jibreel alayhi salam told him that this man Labid has made sorcery on you. And Jibreel alayhi salam retrieved that rock with the 10 knots. There were 10 knots from the bottom of the well, and he brought it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he told the Nabi of Allah, now read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. 10 ayat, the 10 knots open up. With recitation of each verse, one knot opened up and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was cured. The greatest, they say in English, prevention is better than cure. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us every night before you go to bed, read Ayatul Kursi. Read your quls, blow in your hands and wipe on as much as your body as you possibly can. We don't do these things. We're not careful, but we're suspicious. After every Farad Salah, read your Ayatul Kursi. It's the greatest protection. Now, this Labid was a Munafiq. He was a Jewish man who was pretending to be a Muslim, but he wasn't. The next day, he came to the masjid. The Munafiqeen never used to miss Salah, right? Because otherwise, automatically, it would be a giveaway that that was their hypocrisy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met him and embraced him and interacted with him with a broad smile on his face as if nothing had happened. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed by a Jibreel. And there can be no doubt when Jibreel tells you something, it's the same Jibreel who brought the Quran, that it's this man. Firstly, the Amils, the genuine Amils, they have a principle, they'll never tell you who it is. They won't. And if they do, an Amil is like a doctor. It's a diagnosis. It can be right, it can be wrong. It can be partially right, it can be partially wrong. Sometimes one doctor will tell you you got cancer, another one will say you got no cancer, but it's just something small. So everyone looks at it differently, even if they're sincere, right? These charlatans, the ones who put up their pamphlets everywhere, that they can give you the lotto numbers. If they can give you the lotto numbers, why don't they win themselves? That they can bring your long-lost lover back and they can do other things which I don't want to describe here in the masjid. But now, they are the ones who will tell you, they'll tell you, oh, what's happening in your life? So the woman, especially women, are vulnerable. Yeah, you know, my mother-in-law, she doesn't like me, she hates me, she instigates my husband against me. And listens to your whole story. Then he tells you, yeah, your mother-in-law is the one who's making jadu on you. Or your daughter-in-law is the one who's making jadu on you. Or it's your business partner, or it's your neighbor who's giving you difficulty or giving you hardship. Then you say, yeah, that chicken my sister-in-law bought for the Eid Dawood was tasting a bit off. It was tasting a bit off. Nah, leave the suspicion. Focus on the precaution. So that's a bit of a history, right? What's at the root cause of it? Why do people resort to committing jadu? Black magic, sorcery, why? Jealousy. Anger. Either you're jealous of someone's progress, or you're angry because something has happened between you and that person and you feel now I need to get back at him. I can't get back to him at him apparently or directly, so let me do it indirectly. On the one hand, we don't exaggerate, we don't attribute everything to jadu, but on the other hand, don't underplay it. It's rife in the Muslim community. Muslims are perpetrating. They're perpetrating themselves, or they're paying others to perpetrate it. There are so many instances that I know of where a person was afflicted by jadu and he went to an expert amil, and the amil was able to ascertain who made the jadu, meaning who was paid. And when they apprehended that person said, but this is the person who came to me and said, that pay me, I'll pay you and do it. It causes a lot of taklif. You know, some people live their entire life and they can't overcome it. They go from amil to amil, locally, internationally. They just can't overcome it. Look, if you're afflicted, then it's like a disease. Some people have a sickness. They go from expert to expert. They just can't find a cure. That's Allah's test for you. And you will find your reward for it in the after. But the perpetrator, see, jealousy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wipes off your good deeds, like how a shaver shaves your head. And that person, you think you're getting back at that person, but that person will claim from you on the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, you can't pay him in rands and cents. You defame someone in this world, he takes you to court, you must pay. But in the court of Allah, you have to give your good deeds. And if your good deeds are depleted, you must take his evil deeds. Now, do something like this, and that person suffers, and his spouse suffers, and his children suffer, and this one suffer, and that one suffer. On the day of Qiyamah, you can come with all your namaz, and your umrah, and your hajj, and your charity, and you build a masjid, and you dug a well. All that reward is going. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, Manil Muflis, who's a pauper? They said, the person who's got no money. He said, no. The pauper is the man who will come with a lot of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. And he'll think, I'm on my way to Jannah. He'll say, halt. You saw that one. You offended that one. You did that person down. You made jadu on that person. Pay up in the currency of the year after. Now you came with assets. You came with all of your good deeds. Now you're sitting with everybody else's liabilities. May Allah save us and may Allah protect us. So don't commit jadu, but don't provoke jadu. And how do you provoke jadu? By flaunting the bounties of Allah upon you. This is the key point I want to share with you today. Listen, we're not experts. You're not going to understand the science of how it works. That's why I just shared with you the basic concepts. Understand it exists. Understand it's there from the beginning of time. It existed in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. It existed in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. It was done on Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. People do it today as well, and they will continue to do it up to the end of time. It's part of the system that Allah has created in this world. But they can't harm you except if Allah wants them to harm you. So take your precaution. Take your precaution. Recite your mu'awwadhatain. Recite your ayatul kursi. Over and above that, don't flaunt the bounties of Allah upon you, to the near one and to the distant one. Even your siblings, even your close relatives don't have to know everything that Allah has blessed you with. I mean, nowadays we have become so shameless that a man will boast to his friend about how good his wife is in bed. See, even if someone doesn't make jadu on you, there's another aspect which we call nazar, or the old Gujarati people will say najar. In Arabic, it's al-ayn, the effect of the eye. Al-aynu haqqun. The effect of the eye is a reality. Now there, even if the person doesn't have an evil intention, he's just admiring. He's admiring. They say sometimes if the mother admires the child too much without saying mashallah, it has a negative impact on the child. That's why I always say mashallah, subhanallah. So you remove that effect of the evil eye. Now when you flaunt everything on Instagram, you went for a holiday, Allah blessed you with the wealth, you enjoyed a skydive and you enjoyed scuba diving and whatever else, snorkeling. Must you put all of that out there for the whole world to see? If they don't make jadu on you because of jealousy, that ayn, it will apply even in the digital world. Now your wife cooked a delicious meal for iftar, what's the point of putting it up on Instagram? Then you say, you know what, man, I don't know, last night I didn't sleep all night, stomach issues. Nazar, it's a reality. Al-aynu haqqun. And if you see something, now maybe somebody bought brand new car out of the box, you see it, say alhamdulillah, mashallah. You attribute it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So sometimes we must be careful that even though our intentions are not wrong, we must not be making nazar on the bounties of others, because that also has an effect. But we must also take precaution. Don't flaunt everything. I'm not saying that if Allah has given you the means, don't wear decent clothing, don't wear good clothing. But there's a difference between good clothing and extravagant clothing. There's a difference between a good, reliable, comfortable car and then pulling up in a masjid parking lot with a Ferrari. Because listen, if you buy a Ferrari, it's not about whether you can afford it or not. It's that the only reason you bought that car, because this car is very uncomfortable, let's be honest, right? And it's not a family car. The only reason you bought that car is to flaunt it. It's to flaunt it. I know some people who Allah has blessed with wealth, and they wanted to indulge in these luxuries. But they've been so careful, they don't bring those cars in the areas where they live. That those people who are in that particular league, they maybe have a holiday home somewhere, or they have something in another country. They leave those luxuries for there, which is away from people's eyes. That's where you're taking precaution. Don't draw unnecessary attention to yourself. Then you've sorted out half of your precaution in terms of jadu, black magic and sorcery. The other half of the precaution, continue to ask Allah to protect you. This should be part of our daily dua, that Allah protect me from jadu, from sihar, from black magic, sorcery. And read the du'as. That's the most effective cure. Yes, the ulama say it's permissible to wear taweez. Taweez originally was for the small children. Right? So, for example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us every morning we must read Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. By the name of Allah, nothing in the heavens and earth can harm me except by the permission of Allah. Now, children can read it, so you write it for them and you put it as taweez. Okay, even for adults, it's permissible, but your yaqeen is not in the taweez. In the same way that your yaqeen is not in the tablet, Allah is the one who puts effect in the tablet. Your yaqeen must always be in Allah. So don't flaunt the bounties of Allah. Don't tell people. We have this itch, you know. I must tell someone if I've enjoyed a particular bounty. Don't flaunt, especially on social media. Don't be too lavish in terms of what people can see. And don't talk too much. Learn to zip it. Just learn to zip it. Even with those closest to you. That's where you're taking precaution. Then you make dua to Allah. Then you read the mu'awwadhatain. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. You read the ayatul kursi. Then you leave it in the control of Allah. Now if it's meant for you to be afflicted, then it's meant for you to be afflicted. Like a person, you eat healthy foods, you don't overeat, you exercise. After that, if you still get sick, that's what Allah decreed.
that's best for you in terms of your akhirat. But you try to the best of your ability what is within your control. And to conclude, for those who have made this mistake of perpetrating black magic, jadu or sorcery, or who have made others do it on your behalf, make tawbah and remedy and rectify the situation with that person. And last but not least, even if we have not reached the point where we have made jadu on someone, if we suffer from jealousy, have your spiritual malady treated. Don't think that my jealousy will never lead me to do it, because jealousy is like quicksand. Very, very quickly you can lose control, and then you'll indulge, and Allah forbid, you can even lose your iman. May Allah save us, may Allah protect us, and for those who are afflicted, may Allah cure us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.